views and opinions on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Oldies 1079, WOLD, or SRN Communications.
It's time now for Here's the Thing, a show that's all about you with your host, Lauren Cardinal, a board-certified hypnotist and results coach. If you're looking to make a positive change this year, learn lifelong tools to reduce stress and be present. If you're stuck and need to remove the blocks that are from success and happiness in the areas of your life, or if you want to get a new perspective on things, well, it's time to talk to Lauren Cardinal. To talk to Lauren, call 732-748-1079. That's 732-748-1079. And now, here's your host, Lauren Cardinal.
Hello, good evening. Thank you for joining me for Here's the Thing. I am Lauren Cardinal, your host. Approaching things the same way will only get you the same results. If you want to change your life or anything about your life, it starts with changing your mind. So thank you for listening now on Oldies 107.9 WOLD, now serving even more of Central Jersey at 95.1 FM, and recordings of the show being played on 97.5 in Sussex County on Saturday mornings. As you may know, this show, Here's the Thing, is about you, and it's for you. We talk about different topics that will help possibly change your perspective so that your thinking and the way you move about your life is more fulfilling, more productive. If you have something to ask or to share throughout the show, please do. In the meantime, thank you for listening live, and thank you to my podcast listeners. I'm excited to be here with you tonight. I'm really happy to be talking to you about something really important, something that I think we all need to contemplate more. I want to welcome all of my new listeners as well as my regular listeners. If you'd like to call in, the number is 732-748-1079. And as usual, I'll talk for a little bit. If you want to call in, you can hang on for a little bit, and then I'll open up the phone to get you on the show. So most of us have been badly hurt or even betrayed by someone close to us. We know the healthy thing to do is to practice forgiveness. But how do we forgive when we're still angry or feel that the other person hasn't taken responsibility? Tonight we'll be talking about this powerful and important topic so that we can help you have shifts in your understanding of what it really means to forgive. And at holiday time, we seem to focus on our need to forgive a bit more, don't you think? The messages of the season and just getting back to what's important. And in order to do that, we often need to forgive others as well as ourselves. So tonight we're going to be talking about the balance between, among, forgiveness, compassion, and self-respect. Because a lot of us feel that if we're understanding or forgiving people, that we're giving up our power. And it confuses a lot of people. So we're going to be talking about that and also helping with any shifts you need to make. Places you've been stuck for a while, things you've been putting off dealing with, parts you know you've needed to pay attention to but maybe haven't been. And at the end of the show, I'm hoping there will be time. Callers first, that's most important for anyone that wants to call in. I want to do the calls. And if there's time, we'll do a visualization at the end of the show. Haven't done that for a while. And the visualization would be to help you get back on track and centered. So first off, tonight's show is brought to you by Full Recovery Wellness Center. Full Recovery is located in Fairfield, New Jersey. And whether you're struggling to get clean and sober, or a 12-step old-timer, or a family member of a recovering alcoholic or addict, the Full Recovery Wellness Center offers the tools needed to succeed in recovery and in life. They have a dedicated and caring staff that understands that addiction is complex illness. The illness has biological, genetic, psychological, social, and developmental roots, and their treatment targets the entire range of those factors, and their goal is simple: provide the tools that help people in recovery to enjoy a rich and rewarding life. Full Recovery offers outpatient and intensive outpatient treatment programs, as well as a free family dynamic workshop series. They focus on the individual and the family to integrate recovery principles and spiritual concepts with leadership, relationship, and career skills to guide individuals to a life of contribution and prosperity. They do work with insurance, so for more information, you can reach them at 973-244-0022. That's 973-244-0022, or find them online at www.full-recovery.com. That's www.full-recovery.com. And to let you know what I've been letting you know the past couple weeks, if you're at a distance that's far from me and are interested in doing hypnotherapy sessions, I now can offer video hypnosis sessions that are HIPAA compliant for privacy. So you can reach me, you can give me a call at 973-418-2170 and we can set up a session. Or if you'd like to receive my newsletter, it goes out on Thursdays, you can visit my website's contact page or just send me an email. The website is www.laurencardinal.com and the email is lauren@laurencardinal.com. Great. So in last week's show, we discussed trauma and whether the things we think we might be making a bit more drama over really qualify as trauma. And if we're wondering if it's trauma or drama, the answer is yes, because it's all part of trauma. With my special guest, therapist Kate Kestel, we discussed the ways in which we can identify a trauma in our lives, what we might experience as a result, how it presents itself in our daily life, and how we can heal. To learn what was discussed on the show, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find that podcast, as well as all of my previous show's podcasts, on my website, www.laurencardinal.com, or you can find it through iTunes. And it would, you can look for it under my name or under Here's the Thing. In addition to welcoming listeners on 107.9 and 95.1, I'd like to welcome the Sussex County listening audience to the show on WRSK 97.5, broadcasting pre-recorded shows from Sussex County Community College on Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. As always, you can listen to the live show on the internet at WOLDradio.com through the TuneIn Radio app on your Android phone or the free Apple device app on your Apple device, obviously. So, forgiveness, compassion, and self-respect. They're all pretty important things, and oftentimes when we're feeling those things, we're not necessarily feeling the burdens of resentment, blame, and bitterness. But the resentment, blame, anger, bitterness, they're heavy. They make our hearts rough. They dilute what we're capable of. They cover up our joy. Resentment, blame, and anger, they rob us of our energy on a daily basis. And all of us have had situations that create these emotions in us. And we have our hurt in our hearts, or things that made us not trust the world or fill us with despair. And forgiveness. I'm thinking about forgiveness. It sounds really good on paper. But we struggle with it. And we struggle with it because we don't fully understand it. And one of the first things I can offer you, if you're holding on to any resentment or bitterness, is that forgiveness does not mean that what happened to you is okay. Forgiveness does not mean that it's no big deal that you did that, or it was fine, it wasn't wrong, it didn't hurt me. Forgiveness is something that happens inside of you, and the first person it affects is you. Because when we hold blame and bitterness, we're blocking the flow of love out and blocking the flow of love in. It prevents us from being able to feel. It's like a big rock, even a boulder. And it's in the way of emotions being able to reach you. So one of the first understandings about forgiveness is that it's a gift you give yourself to release yourself from that place that traps us in bitterness. It doesn't mean that you forget about what happened. It means that you're letting go of those rocks of blame that are sucking your energy. And there may be people that you're saying, I will never talk to that person again. And perhaps rightfully so. But perseverating on the situation that occurred, going over it again and again in your mind, is only damaging you. It's poisoning you. And thinking of another metaphor, like fire. When someone does something, it's like a fire, a burst of fire, of anger inside you. But a fire needs fuel. And that's what you continue to give it when you go over it and over it. And it's natural. When the person has stopped doing that behavior or is out of your life, the scorched part of your heart is still there. But the fire, in order to keep burning, needs the fuel of your thoughts in talking about it and keeping that anger. The fuel you give it is your energy. Forgiveness doesn't mean that we give somebody else a break or give them a pass. It's just that we understand that we need to clear and heal anything that blocks us from receiving or that pulls us into a black hole of upset. Because once you're in those places, you swirl around there and it's hard to get out. You already know that it's hard to get out. Otherwise, forgiveness would be a little bit easier, right? And we tend to fall into victimhood and hang out there for a while until we get sick of the scenery. Have you met someone that you wanted to be friends with or get involved with in some way, and they're holding on to so much bitterness that it's as if they're walking around with a black cloud around their heads? Energetically, you can feel their inability to feel joy, the sarcasm, the anger. It's a lot to manage, that bitterness. And bitterness is different from remorse. Like, I still feel so sad about that, or I'll always feel a sense of grief that my father didn't know how to be a father. Those things are different. So, what do we bring to those bolder or fire feelings? Compassion. We don't have magical thinking, but we have compassionate thinking. We understand that as horrible as the thing that happened to us is, that person has to live with that as well. And that's sad. I'll give you an example. Something I've been dealing with the past week. My own challenges in forgiveness that I'm working through. And yes, it's one of the catalysts for tonight's topic, but I think the holiday time, we are definitely more focused on forgiveness, and the topic of forgiveness is one of the topics I've had in my head for several weeks now. So my issue this past week just sort of fell in line more than anything. So the issue that I had was dealing with lies from a professional acquaintance of mine for several weeks. The excuses and the lies were so bold, I just really didn't believe that they weren't true. Like, in that line of thinking, like, you just can't make this stuff up. So several times I gave the benefit of the doubt and afforded another opportunity for follow through. You can relate to that, right? I think we've all been in those circumstances. So for several weeks, this actually went on. I know, silly me, right? Well, in all of this, and this is part of my forgiveness process, part of this, and in all of this, is that I come away from this being able to look at myself in the mirror without guilt. Maybe a little shame for letting it go on as long as I did, but I'd rather err on the side of allowance than rigidity. And I can't say the same for this individual. And the thing is, anger, bitterness, resentment, blame, they disempower you. Forgiving is not giving up your power. Holding on to those emotions is what disempowers you. It's almost as if you were able to say to yourself, nothing that has happened to me will rob me of my joy. I will not let anything that has happened take one scrap of feeling from my heart. I will defiantly live and love despite what has happened and continue to move forward. Kind of a mantra, right? We remember. We feel the scars. But we do not invest the energy to those things that continue to rob the joy in our lives. And some things, obviously, are felt deeper than others. So those scars can be bigger, broader, deeper, and may take more time. But it's a matter of the focus and reminding yourself of the feeling you want to have and not investing the energy in the things that rob the joy in your life. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Here's the Thing. I am your host, Lauren Cardinal, board-certified hypnotist and results coach, and tonight we're talking about forgiveness, how to do it, and why we often find it to be so difficult. If you have something you'd like to share, I'd love to hear from you. Please call in 732-748-1079 and let me know what's on your mind. Now, forgiveness is a conscious decision, and it's a decision to give up struggling against the past and to no longer give the past actions control or to contain you from your vital energy. And you don't have to be in communication with the other person. The other person that you're feeling this anger or bitterness towards, the other person doesn't even have to be alive on this planet in order for you to forgive. And it usually comes back to the self-forgiveness piece. We often use it as an obstacle. We beat ourselves up. The ability we have to create everything in our lives is in direct proportion to how completely we have forgiven ourselves and others. And I'm going to repeat that. The ability we have to create everything in our lives is in direct proportion to how completely we have forgiven ourselves and others. And right here, I want to read something to you. It's a little bit from a book called Radical Forgiveness by Colin Tipping. And it goes like this. Only in the experience of being victimized can you possibly come to realize what lies behind the illusion of victimhood, the projection of your self-hatred. If you are able to look beyond the illusion of the perpetrator and recognize these actions as a call for love, and if you respond with love and complete acceptance, the victim energy is transformed and the consciousness of all involved is raised. In addition, the energy that holds the pattern of abuse disappears and the behavior stops immediately. That is what transformation is all about. On the other hand, if we do not recognize the truth in the situation or do not see beyond the illusion, and if we try to change the physical circumstances, we lock up the energy that holds the pattern of abuse in place and nothing changes. What you resist persists. And in this, because I brought up the idea of forgiveness, but also the self-forgiveness part, I found this Buddhist prayer of forgiveness. And I know I usually do quotes and things at the end, but this just ties in perfectly right here with the self-forgiveness. So bear with me while I read this. A Buddhist prayer of forgiveness. If I have harmed anyone in any way, either knowingly or unknowingly, through my own confusions, I ask their forgiveness. If anyone has harmed me in any way, either knowingly or unknowingly, through their own confusions, I forgive them. And if there is a situation I am not yet ready to forgive, I forgive myself for that. For all the ways that I harm myself, negate, doubt, belittle myself, judge, or be unkind to myself through my own confusions, I forgive myself. I just thought that was quite appropriate, and I liked it. So, another important part about forgiveness is that in every experience, there is a seed of a lesson or wisdom in the situation. We need to cultivate the capacity to accept situations and circumstances exactly as they occurred. So really, it's about surrendering any attachment or desire or wish or opinion that a situation could or would have been any different. And then be willing to look at the entire experience through new eyes to find the wisdom about yourself and others. And when I talk about surrender, surrender does get a bad rap. It's really about letting go of our willfulness, our stronghold, our need for anything to be a certain way. So let me jump back in here with what I've processed through my own situation this past week, because I gave you the beginning part and then talking about the forgiveness and the lesson in it. Now, I mentioned that I can look at myself in the mirror, and I don't know if the other individual can. I really can't say whether this person can look in the mirror and be okay with it. I really have no idea. I just know that what was created with the excuses, the lying, and the disrespect for my time were, number one, completely avoidable if the truth had been told from the start, and two, that it's a very sad way to handle things. I mean, a coaching phrase is, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. And if this individual does everything this way, can be very little time for enjoyment and happiness in life. So much time. So much web spinning. So I come away from it feeling sorry for this individual. The learning in this for me is to set my boundaries differently, because I'm sure this will not happen again. And setting the boundaries also gives me freedom from becoming hardened from the experience. I don't want to be hardened. I merely want to learn. I don't understand the disrespect, and I don't know that I ever will. But unfortunately for this individual, he or she is no longer in my life. I send light and love when I think of the situation, because each time I do, it's my intention that it will help elevate them. And in doing so, it continues to release me. And it's a process. It's not over for me yet, believe me. I'm well on my way, but I'm still working on it. So it is a matter of managing, right? It's intellectually we know certain things, including the fact that forgiveness can release us from certain burdens. And it's also difficult because we can be so hard on ourselves. Oftentimes, the forgiveness is difficult because we feel as if we're abandoning ourselves. And it can be even more frustrating when others seem to be able to move on so easily when we're stuck feeling what we're feeling, right? So what gets activated in us at the time of anger? There's big wisdom there. Something gets activated in all of it. And when that activation happens, that's often where the greatest learning is. So if we can get some objectivity about the situation and look at it from a different perspective, the wisdom is there. And I really believe that transformation isn't possible without forgiveness. Forgiving others does not absolve them of their responsibility for what they've done. It's about liberating our hearts and our minds so it can be used for something far more fruitful, more powerful, more positive. It propels us into the life that we want, rather than holding us back. Remember, everything that we do, every choice that we make is in response to fear or love. And if we're in that down state, focusing on that angriness, that bitterness, that resentment, it's that negative spinning, and it's often based in fear. And then we're not acknowledging the joy. We're not making choices in terms of joy, in terms of love, into the things that will propel our lives. So the forgiveness really is about freeing us so we can be more of who we're meant to be. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Here's the Thing. I'm your host, Lauren Cardinal, and tonight we're talking about forgiveness. If you have something you'd like to share, like to hear from you, please call in at 732-748-1079. Let me know what's on your mind. Now, we know that we need to let go of all that anger and resentment, but it can be very hard in practice. If you've asked yourself, how do I forgive, and struggled to find an answer that works, then we're going to take some time to go through some stages and some steps. Learning how to forgive can be complex, and it can't happen overnight in most cases. However, it is possible, and you know that you'll be so much better off when you succeed. So we'll talk about 5 stages of forgiveness to help you understand the nature of forgiving someone who has hurt you, and it can show you how you can truly move on. Forgiveness is deeply personal, so no 2 individuals will experience it in the exact same way. That said, it is a process with roughly 5 distinct stages, and you'll likely go through all of them at some point. I mean, a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the stages of grief, and similarly then there were 5 stages. And you don't go through all of the 5 stages of grief, and it's certainly not linear. You don't go follow them in a specific pattern and can bounce back and forth. And there's certain that opportunity in these 5 stages, but they're not the same 5 stages. So let's get into those 5 stages. So here's what you can expect from each. Stage 1, awareness. You notice that you're still angry, hurt, or bitter about something, and this lets you know that you need to forgive. The awareness is crucial. Always, awareness is the first step. Without the awareness, negative feelings will continue to undermine you at a subconscious level. Anytime you hear the word subconscious, you know that there's an opportunity for hypnotherapy to be a benefit, but none of that is of any benefit without the awareness. So stage 1 is awareness. Stage 2, experience. Forgiveness isn't about suppressing or ignoring painful feelings, and I think this is something that we most often do. If we can choose our thoughts, we just choose not to think about something. But if it's at a subconscious level, it's there, whether we want to think about it or not, that pain. And emotions will rule out 100% of the time. So you may not be thinking about it consciously, but it's there. It's way down deep, and suppressing it or ignoring it just makes it last longer. In fact, you do need to go through a period of fully feeling the emotions. Engage with their full impact, whether by journaling or talking or whatever works for you to let yourself express your anger and your pain. Last week I mentioned, or 2 weeks ago I mentioned in one of the stages that suppressing it, if we think of almost like a beach ball in the pool, and we're pressing it down and pressing it down under the water. And it takes effort and energy to press it down. But once we let go, that's what we're doing with the emotions. If we let go and just allow them, it allows things to process through much more freely, much more easily. So stage 3, acceptance. You don't need to make excuses for the person who hurt you or to endorse the choices they made. In fact, you may not even want to let them back into your life. But you do have to accept that you've had this unpleasant experience, and it can't be changed. It's history. It cannot be changed. So stage 4, willingness to forgive. Often it's only after we experience the full range of our emotions and consign them to the past that we become willing to forgive. At this stage, you'll really see that there's no benefit to staying in a place of suffering, and you'll stop clinging to the old pain that's holding you back. And stage 5, releasing. The final stage of forgiveness is letting go of your grudge and releasing your emotions from your body. Once you do that, you can actively move on with your life positively and productively. You'll feel a profound and lasting sense of peace and closure. And we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll recap those 5 stages, and then we'll go into some steps for releasing and finding the forgiveness in your life. Be back in a moment.
Did you know know there's a world-class addiction treatment center that accepts most insurance right in Fairfield, New Jersey? The Full Recovery Wellness Center offers substance abuse help with flexible day and evening options. Overcoming addictive behavior is really just the beginning of recovery. The Full Recovery Program offers a holistic approach to improve all areas of your life, from strained relationships to difficult career and financial situations. At Full Recovery, the goal is simple: provide you the tools needed to enjoy a rich and rewarding life. Full Recovery is now offering its exclusive Badge of Honor program, a treatment solution designed to meet the unique privacy needs of New Jersey's first responders and police officers. When relapse is not an option, turn to the state licensed professionals at the Full Recovery Wellness Center, located at 87 Fairfield Road in Fairfield. For more information, 973-244-0022 or at www.full-recovery.com. Full Recovery Wellness Center in Fairfield.
And now, back to Here's the Thing, a show that's all about you on WOLD. And your host, Lauren Cardinal, a board-certified hypnotist and results coach. If you'd like to speak to Lauren, you can call in at 732-748-1079. That's 732-748-1079. Let's get back to the show with your host, Lauren Cardinal.
Hello and welcome back. I just want to take an opportunity to recap the five stages, just quickly. Five stages of forgiveness: awareness, experience, and allowing yourself to feel the emotions, acceptance, because the past cannot be changed, the willingness to forgive, and releasing. The final stage is letting go of your grudge and releasing your emotions from your body. But how do you know when it's time to let go of grudges? You know, the stages of forgiveness give you a better sense of what to expect. And there are, of course, plenty of other complexities. And sometimes it's easier said than done. When you let go of grudges, you instantly improve your mental well-being. But how do you know when it's the right time to forgive and let go? Some major signs: you feel drained, and feelings of anger or sorrow are stopping you from manifesting a more positive life. You've grown apart from the person who hurt you, and resentment is really all they're adding to your life. You notice you live more in the past than in the present. And deep down, you know that fear's been holding you back from moving on. Although fear is unpleasant, it keeps you safe from further hurt. But it also keeps you from further joy. So before I move on to the 12 steps for letting go and moving on, we have Diane on the line from North Brunswick. Diane, are you there?
Yes, Lauren, I am.
Hi, Diane. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I like what you're talking about tonight, and I really enjoyed your show last week about trauma with your guest speaker.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Yes, it was very good. And what I wanted to say was that I, one point I wanted to make was that love is a lot easier than forgiveness. You know, you can love somebody and not be able to forgive them. I think that it's easier to love somebody and not be able to forgive them. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. Are you thinking of forgiving as forgetting?
Like, you know, it's easier to love someone and still be unforgiving towards them. But like, my mother was the enemy of my soul pretty much all my life. She died about a year and a half ago. And now these five stages that you have, I'll tell you where I have a problem.
Okay.
The awareness is very good. Like, I'm very aware of what she did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The feelings of emotion I have, and the acceptance. The willingness to forgive, I want to forgive. And releasing, the willingness to forgive, I have a hard time. And the releasing, I have a problem with those two.
So the willingness to forgive, the actual forgiveness, it's because you're still feeling the pain?
Yeah. Up until her death, pretty much, she was still at it with me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was very, very traumatic. Her effect on me, and especially when I had three young children, and what she would do, how she would say things to me. There were times when I was living in Florida where she never called me, but like I would call her because I wanted to talk to my mother, you know. And she would say one sentence to me, and I'd be in the fetal position in my bed for 2 weeks, where the kids would just have to play around the bed. I would get up and feed them and stuff, but I'd be so depressed over just a sentence that she would say to me.
Mm-hmm.
And she had such power over me for so long. But then
it sounds like she had power over you because you loved your mother and you were willing to give her that power.
Yeah,
she wasn't calling you, you were calling her, right?
I called her, and I had fallen apart down in Florida, and she never reached out to me. You know, she would just say, stay in touch. But, you know, after a while, when I got, I was older, the kids were older, I was older, and I was on a bus going somewhere, and I said to myself, Diane, if you let your mother hurt you that way at another time, what she was doing, it's going to be on you. You can't you can't let her do that to you anymore.
Right, setting those boundaries.
Yeah, I said you can't let her.
And sticking to them.
Yeah, and
that can be the difficult part, sure.
And I was pretty good with that. And now,
well, how much of what you're feeling about the not being able to forgive has more to do with you not forgiving you rather than you not forgiving your mother?
Yeah, I was listening to what you were saying about that, that Buddhist prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That was very nice.
Yeah, I love that one.
That was beautiful. And
it sounds like with the opportunity for understanding, because you were reaching out to your mother, and she would say something that put you into the fetal position for 2 weeks, robbing you of your joy, your ability to connect with your kids.
Yeah.
So that's, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's easy. It's a matter of choosing your response. And if you were putting yourself in that position, it is difficult. It's like you're setting yourself up. Like you're putting your face out there to be slapped, if that's the way she was going to respond. And you knew there was the potential for her to respond that way, right?
Yeah, she used to slap my face up until the time I was 18 years old.
Mm.
And when I was younger, she was physically abusive and emotionally. But, you know...
Yeah, and it sounds like, I mean, and earlier I was talking about that some of the hurts go deeper than just mere anger. They're not as light, and it may be worth. Have you talked to somebody, a therapist, for counseling?
Yeah, I was in therapy for a long time, and right now I'm doing very well. But I want to say that I still find myself thinking about her and thinking about those things that she did,
mm-hmm.
and I don't really have total forgiveness for her, towards her, you know.
And how much do you think there could be a benefit in understanding her perspective or understanding her more?
I think it would help. I think that she had a lot of problems.
Yeah. And the understanding, again, isn't to release her from her responsibility in all of it, but sometimes the understanding of what's behind her actions just allows you more compassion. And with the compassion, it kind of levels the playing field, so it's a little bit easier to forgive and to release it. Because as long as you're holding on to that, there's a certain amount that's holding you back from living the life that you're supposed to live.
Yeah.
It sounds like you feel that.
Yeah, I am going there now,
going
to that place now.
Good, good, good.
And
what do you think is making the difference for you there?
Well, I think that my brothers and sisters are helping me with that because they all had a pretty good relationship with my mother, and I'm a big sister, and I was like the second mother,
mm-hmm.
and I think that
so you were her go-to person.
Yeah,
you felt the brunt of it.
Yeah. But they all love my mother very much.
And well, and it sounds like you
have the same experience.
There's love there too, because there wouldn't be the extent of the pain that you're feeling if there wasn't love.
Yeah, I
if you didn't care,
mother.
It wouldn't bother you.
I do love my mother. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the place from which you can find the understanding and the compassion and eventually the forgiveness so that you're released from it. And if what you're saying is what your family experienced, your brothers and sisters, that you being the firstborn and kind of the second mother, it almost sounds like, and just stay with me on this, it almost sounds like that it doesn't matter which one of you was in that position. It was going to be the person that was next in line to her that was going to get the brunt of what she dished out.
Yeah, well, I'm the second oldest. My sister Carol didn't get it the way I did somehow.
Mm.
I was more like the apple of my father's eye.
Well, and maybe that has something to do with
it. Yeah.
I mean, certainly if you've gone to a therapist, you've dug in a little bit deeper to really know some of the motivations behind that. But it does sound like that the hurt is there because the love is there. And it's great to hear that you're moving onward and upward. And
thank
staying
you,
connected with your family as part of the process.
I'm enjoying listening to all you have to say.
Oh, thanks, Diane. And I'm so glad you called in again.
Well,
we spoke
you.
2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, we talked about grief.
That's right, that's right. Oh, fantastic. Thank you for calling in again. It was great to speak with you.
Thank you, Lauren.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye, Diane. Great call from Diane. And again, a testament that is difficult to forgive. It's a process, and she's working through it, following the steps that are comfortable for her and staying in touch with the love. And again, I think that's an important point to reiterate, that sometimes the hurt is deeper because the love is stronger. If we don't know the light, we don't know the dark. If we don't know the love, we don't know the extent of the hurt. So a mother-daughter connection is pretty strong. It certainly can be. And the level of love that she had there was a testament to that, and it speaks to why the hurt was so strong. I have no doubt that she'll find her way to forgiveness for her mother. She's well on her way. So I mentioned that about 12 steps for letting go and moving on. So let me take a look at the time here. Okay, let's move along here. Step one is to reconnect to your heart. Do whatever you need to do to feel like your best, most authentic self, whether it's meditate or be creative, spend time with those who aren't hurting you. Tap into the energy of your heart. That's the positive, resilient part of you that will give you the resources you need to recover from pain, recharging your batteries, making that connection, going for a walk, tapping into nature. Step two is focusing on self-knowledge. Try to understand the grudge you're holding on to properly. Why does it hurt so much? What past wounds does it reactivate? What is it about you that means you have been especially harmed by what has happened? When you turn your insight inwards instead of analyzing the one who hurt you, you'll empower yourself with self-knowledge. There's definitely the opportunity of understanding the other side of it to find compassion, but the learning is an inside job. The wisdom is an inside job, and turning your insights inwards. Step three is taking responsibility for yourself. Another important part of learning how to forgive someone is taking responsibility for whatever role you played in the hurtful event. And your role might be minor or major. But if you don't acknowledge any part of it, then you'll subconsciously project negative thoughts about yourself onto others. As you take responsibility for what's appropriate, allow yourself to receive forgiveness too. And taking your responsibility for what's appropriate, like in my situation, for that example that I was working with, I wasn't setting my boundaries. My boundaries were too lenient. And I know that now, and I'll certainly learn from it. But that's understanding my role in it, my responsibility. And then, like according to that Buddhist prayer that I read, about forgiving myself for my part in it. Step four, draw lessons from these dark times. No matter how awful something is, there are always useful lessons to be learned. In fact, sometimes we're sent challenges precisely so that we can grow. Ask yourself what you can learn from the particular rupture in your relationship with another person. What will you do differently in other relationships? For example, are there firmer boundaries that you need to hold? Step 5, focus on kindness, not rightness. Oh, we've heard this one before, right? It's tempting to ruminate on how wrong the other person is. And rightfully so. If they're not taking responsibility for their actions, the anger is there and it's validated. But ruminating on how wrong the other person is isn't helpful to you. If you want to forgive someone who's hurt you emotionally, it's about focusing on that old Chinese proverb, it's better to be kind than to be right. So how can you offer that kindness to the person who wronged you? How might kindness make your other relationships run more smoothly? Step 6, move away from judgment. Empathy is a powerful weapon against grudges. Spend at least a little time seeing your current situation from the other person's perspective. How do things look from them? What do they feel? Why have they done what they have? This exercise isn't about finding excuses for bad behavior, but about understanding the complexities and inner struggles that we all face. It's humanizing it. Step 7, accept apologies. Sometimes the other person has no intention of saying sorry. However, if someone is willing to offer you an apology, take it with grace. It doesn't mean that you have to excuse their actions or even welcome the person back into your life if you don't want to. However, it does mean that putting persistent negative thinking just goes to bed. You put it to bed. Step 8, don't look for further offense. When you've experienced a recent hurt, you might be tempted to keep looking for further offenses. These might be in the same relationships or just in life in general. It's almost as if your filter, your subconscious filter for sorting, which is what our belief system does, this filter for sorting things out, experiences that we have, just seeks out those things that corroborate or reinforce what we already quote-unquote know to be true. Like in the information that I read from Colin Tipping about the illusions, seeing past the illusions. If it doesn't feel right to you inside, then it's not right. The only time that we feel that discord is if something isn't in alignment with who we know ourselves to be. So if it doesn't feel right, it is an illusion. It's not who you are. It's not right. And it's about seeing past that and not looking for things to reinforce something negative. If you look for signs of disrespect or reasons to be angry, you'll find them. Start your day with the assumption that people will treat you well and go from there. Step 9, expect goodness. On a related note, it's important to keep your mind trained on expectations of goodness. This can help you be open, it can help you be more positive, and that's what attracts the best people and situations into your life. We've talked about that before. What you focus on expands. You might find it helpful to say a daily affirmation, and affirmations work. An affirmation like, I attract kind and loving people into my life, or I expect goodness and I receive it. And not the I will receive it. As long as you're saying I will receive it, it's always out in the future. Present moment, I am. I expect goodness and I receive it. It's in the present. Step 10, visualize letting go. 10 minutes a day visualizing, focusing on letting go. Some people imagine themselves moving like water, gently flowing through their relationships as they change. Other people imagine their grudge as a physical object that they throw into the sea or over a cliff. I do things like this all of the time in hypnotherapy, using all of the senses in order to release things. Alternately, you might see your negativity leaving your body as a colored mist, perhaps. There are a variety of ways, breathing it out. In fact, one of the visualizations, the visualization that I have lined up for the end of the show, if we have time, is another way of releasing. So step 11, be in the present. As noted, forgive and let go. In order to do those things, you need to take yourself out of the past. Tell yourself that you're going to give all your energy to this moment and this day instead of uselessly pouring it into something you can't change. I know the temptation to perseverate on things that happened in the past. It's an opportunity to tell yourself, stay in the present. And meditation can be helpful here, being mindful, taking a few minutes to get centered and follow your breathing. It can physically ground you. Things like exercising or even doing something creative like making something with your hands. Step 12, give love. Do your best to align yourself with a loving, giving vibration. Maybe try writing down 3 to 5 things that make you feel love at the start of each day. Every time you feel yourself returning to negativity, just recite those 3 to 5 things in your mind. As you give love, you'll receive it. Sometimes I talk about the number 5 and 5 things like that because you have 5 fingers. And it's easy throughout the day to just once on each finger. And if you're not feeling it after those 5, you got a whole other hand. Another 5 times to repeat those affirmations to remind yourself and settle into it, to take time to do that. So it doesn't look like we're going to have time for the visualization, but I'm going to give you an idea of it because it is something that you can do on your own. It's about taking some time to breathe, just smoothing out the energy. Close your eyes when you're in a place where you can do that and take a deep breath and a nice long, slow exhale. And remember, the breath in needs to be that lung-expanding, belly-expanding breath that allows the oxygen to get to your brain. And on the exhale, just allowing your shoulders to drop. Remember that there's release in the exhale, releasing with every out-breath. And breathing in and exhaling the tension away, exhaling the tightness and discomfort, just allowing yourself to settle in so that you can have a greater awareness of your physical body and let your attention be absorbed inside your physical body, whatever you're feeling. Whatever tightness, exhaling that away. Whatever discomfort, exhaling that away. Whatever you're feeling, just settling into that. And then with the greater awareness of your body and what you're experiencing, you get in touch with the situation that's causing you the anger, and then think of the person that you need to forgive, really getting in touch with it so that you feel it. You can put it on that scale of 0 to 10 and getting it up there where you're really resonating with it. And then notice where you feel it in your body. Maybe you feel it as a heaviness in your chest or a clenched pit in your stomach. Wherever you're feeling it, it's about being aware of that. Then notice whatever there is to notice about the feeling. If it had a shape, what would that be? If it has size or texture or color, what it would be. Then notice anything else you can notice about it. Is it cool or warm? Is it large or small? And then taking that feeling, whatever shape or form it has, and put it out in front of you. Get some distance from it. And from that perspective, you can observe it differently. See what you can notice about that feeling now that it's out in front of you and it has a shape, a texture, a size, or whatever else you notice about it. Notice whether it's changed now that it's outside of your body. Then notice how differently your body feels with that anger, resentment, and bitterness outside of your body. Now you know how forgiveness for that person feels in your body once you do that and how freeing it could be. Remember the feeling, knowing that you can have that better feeling, because you already have. As long as you do this exercise, you already have that better feeling. You know what it feels like, and that's what makes it easier for you to transform into that forgiveness. So, when you've experienced letting go and moving on, you learn a lot about life and about yourself. Toxic relationships with toxic people are incredibly painful, but they're also richly educational. Recognize that you've discovered more about what you need from relationships and your capacity for healing. In addition, the process of forgiveness teaches us how to live in the present instead of stewing over the past or stressing about the future. When we're able to enjoy and fully experience each passing moment, we get more out of life and permit ourselves to be happy. Finally, when it comes to the issue of how to forgive someone who keeps hurting you, make sure you distinguish this from tolerating future emotional injuries. Forgiveness and relationship endings are not mutually exclusive. You can offer forgiveness and let go of grudges while still refusing to let a toxic person back into your life. And in some cases, that may be what you need to do in order to attain love and well-being. You know transformation has taken place when you forget to remember the shift is happening. If you're looking for additional sources to assist your forgiveness efforts, you can look at Forgiveness, 21 Days to Forgive Everyone for Everything by Ilanya Van Zandt, Radical Forgiveness by Colin Tipping, and of course you can reach out to your therapist for counseling. In closing, getting over a painful experience is much like crossing monkey bars. You have to let go at some point in order to move forward. Just think about that for a second. And another quote by Mark Twain. Forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it. Wow. So I would like to thank my sponsor, Full Recovery Wellness Center. I would like to thank Diane for calling in and sharing her experience with her, the process that she is going through with forgiveness for her mother, and sharing that vulnerability with us. And I'd like to thank you for joining me. Set your calendar and tune in next week live on Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 107.9 or 95.1 FM, with the recorded shows playing at 9 a.m. on Saturday at 97.5 WRSK. So tune in next week. You don't want to miss the show. Until then, keep it light, smile, and enjoy. Good night.
There's a world-class addiction treatment center that accepts most insurance right in Fairfield, New Jersey. The Full Recovery Wellness Center offers substance abuse help with flexible day and evening options. Overcoming addictive behavior is really just the beginning of recovery. The Full Recovery program offers a holistic approach to improve all areas of your life, from strained relationships to difficult career and financial situations. At Full Recovery, the goal is simple: provide you the tools needed to enjoy a rich and rewarding life. Full Recovery is now offering its exclusive Badge of Honor program, a treatment solution designed to meet the unique privacy needs of New Jersey's first responders and police officers. When relapse is not an option, turn to the state licensed professionals at the Full Recovery Wellness Center, located at 87 Fairfield Road in Fairfield. For more information, 973-244-0022 or at www.full-recovery.com. Full Recovery Wellness Center in Fairfield.
The views and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Oldies 107.9 WOLD or SRN Communications.